This is Viewpoint with attorney and author Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is a one-hour talk show confronting the issues of America's heart and home. And now with today's edition of Viewpoint, here is Chuck Crismeyer.
The most troubled generation in American history. That's what we want to talk about here today on Viewpoint. The most troubled generation in American history. Yes, in fact, it's Generation Z. Generation Z, that's the last letter of the alphabet. We've gone through X, we've gone through Y, and now we've gone through Z, and now we're on to Alpha and Beta after that. Imagine being a young person in your teens or 20s and living 100 years ago when computers, the internet, social media, and smartphones didn't even exist. They weren't even the figment in the imagination of your kids' eyes or yours. And yet, imagine that you were somehow enabled via a small futuristic device with seemingly magical powers to effortlessly see and communicate not only with friends and family, but also with every deranged, deceitful, demonic, and criminally insane individual group and subculture on the entire planet who somehow were able to present themselves as righteous, moral, and dynamically appealing. Imagine that, like many in their teens and 20s, you are immature, hungry for identity and purpose, basically ignorant of history, highly suggestible, and therefore unable to reliably discern genuine good from evil masquerading as good. Just what sort of delusion and even criminality and terrorism might you be capable of sympathizing with and even joining forces with? Well, that's the description of a young man by the name of Tyler Robinson, charged with assassinating the beloved Christian conservative leader, Charlie Kirk, on September 10th, 2025. So as David Kupalian, the chief editor for WorldNet Daily, the original Christian issues-oriented website, has written, a specific article, Redeeming the Most Troubled Generation in American History. In fact, this seems to be the ongoing case. There's a reason why Charlie Kirk was called out as a young man and felt a very strong calling to begin to address that generation, Generation Z. Charlie Kirk was a millennial, but he understood what was coming up behind him with Generation Z because the millennial generation had a lot of the same problems. And so he began to address them in colleges all over the country and in churches and did his best in a frenetic way to get the message out, only to have his life snuffed out by one of the very people whose concerns he was addressing, Tyler Robinson. Well, Tyler Robinson was brought to court this week and smirked there in the courthouse concerning the matter of his, shall we say, execution of Charlie Kirk. So what about this fella, Tyler? We'll talk about that in just a few moments, because it's somewhat illustrative of what's happened to the entire realm of Generation Z. But we're not going to just say curse the darkness here today on Viewpoint. We're going to talk about how did this kind of thing happen. Because if we can understand a bit of how this kind of thing happens, then we will be perhaps closer to finding answers to, as David Kupalian writes, redeeming the most troubled generation in American history. So I welcome you to Viewpoint. I'm Chuck Crismeyer. It's Conversation with Ever-Increasing Conviction, Talk That Transforms, as always. And we're not here just to lay out information. Information by itself accomplishes almost nothing. We're loaded with information. In fact, we were said to be the information age about 20 years ago. We've been living in the information age, but there's been virtually no transformation for good. And so Generation Z grew up in the information age that was guided by their fathers and mothers, the millennials, and now they feel hopeless. They feel lack of direction, and so they're going for every possible way to try to find meaning and purpose and challenge, and it's leading so many of them in the wrong direction. So again, Thanks for joining us here on Viewpoint today. And indeed, it's conversation because even though I am the one that's speaking with you, I'm not speaking to you. We're speaking together here. I'm sharing thoughts, sharing ideas that involve every single one of us. And so in a sense, I'm reaching out to you, not asking you for a verbal response, not to call in, but to process this kind of information in your own mind and in your own heart. One of the reasons that we rejected early on a television program when given that choice was because on TV, it's very easy to dink out, so to speak. It becomes somewhat mesmerizing. So we never went that direction. We decided to do it through radio because with radio, it forces you to think, to really ponder and think about the words and the things that are being talked about. And I hope you feel that way as you listen to Viewpoint. There's a reason why someone early on in the launching of this program 30 years ago said, you know what, you just can't listen to Viewpoint long and not be changed. In other words, you have to make choices. Things are presented in such a way here on this program that is very different than so many other so-called issues-oriented programs, even Christian issues-oriented programs, because it's not just about information. We're not just trying to present a conservative or a Christian viewpoint. We're trying to present it in such a way that you have to make a decision. You see, that's what the Word of God is supposed to do. The Word of God is supposed to be taught and preached in such a way that the Holy Spirit can grab a hold of that and bring conviction in our minds and our hearts and steer us toward responding positively, productively, and repentingly to the words that are spoken. That's the change we can really believe in. Information alone brings no change. It's just information. Just information. So we're providing a vast amount of information here on Viewpoint, as always, but it's for a specific purpose. And that specific purpose is to bring people to a place of understanding their particular place, their particular responsibility in the whole situation concerning our country, concerning the generations, concerning our world, concerning where we see that things have gone awry and many are wringing their hands in anxiety, just fearful, as Jesus said, as people, we move toward the end of the age, men will be fearful, so fearful that they'll try to avoid dealing with life itself. It's going to be a very serious time. And we're in that situation when Generation Z is also called the anxious generation. Well, if Generation Z is the anxious generation, just understand, think about who it was that helped prepare the way for them to be so anxious. Well, it was their mothers and fathers, the millennial generation, or their grandparents, Generation X, or even their great-grandparents, the baby boomer generation. Just suggesting we look somewhere else.
Once upon a time, children could pray and read their Bibles in school. Divorces were practically unknown, as was child abuse. In our once great America, virginity and chastity were popular virtues, and homosexuality was an abomination.
So what happened in just one generation?
Hi, I'm Chuck Chrismeyer, and I urge you to join me daily on Viewpoint, where we discuss the most challenging issues touching our hearts and homes. Could America's moral slide relate to the Fourth Commandment?
Listen to Viewpoint on this radio station or anytime at saveus.org.
At an article titled 10 Most Sinful Cities in America, Named and Shamed. We're not going to go over those here at this moment, but just imagine that your child, your grandchild, lives in one of those cities or metropolitan areas. Would that not have an effect upon how they live, the values that they have or lack thereof, how they think, whether or not they feel comfortable or challenged, or whether they feel like they have a purpose and a reason for living? A famous psychiatrist coming out of the Holocaust said, he who has a why to live can withstand almost any how. He who has a why to live, in other words, a reason, a raison d'etre, a reason for being, can withstand almost any how. The problem is the Generation Z, in large measure, doesn't understand that it has a why to live. What is that why? They're lost. The millennial generation before them was also lost, but not nearly to the level of Generation Z. It's not just Christians and Christian observers, but it's secular observers, analysts that are looking at Generation Z and really agreeing it's the most troubled generation in American history. It's also one of the largest, maybe the largest. So if one of the largest, if not the largest generation in American history, also feels lack of purpose, lack of hope, what does that say for the future? What does that say for the very thing that we've been crying out to God for 50 years in our National Day of Prayer, asking God for revival, asking God for restoration of our country? Where is the hope? When I wrote the book, Renewing the Soul of America, the publisher gave the title to it, the subtitle, that is. I gave the title, Renewing the Soul of America, endorsed by 38 national Christian leaders, because what they saw in that book was something radically different than any other book supposedly dealing with the culture wars and the condition of the country. What they saw was this book actually provided the direction for the very change that we were hoping for. Instead of just regurgitating all of the problems of the country and this, that, or the other, and all kinds of facts and so on. Oh, it's full of facts, but it doesn't go anywhere. And the publisher, in looking over the manuscript, said, you know what? The subtitle of this book should be One Person at a Time, Beginning with You. So the book is called Renewing the Soul of America, One Person at a Time, Beginning with You. Did you know that up until that time, almost everything that was written in the Christian world or in the secular world concerning the problems that were going on in our country, which were many, seemed to have no change . And yet here comes a book that seems to be very, very different. And that's why 38 national Christian leaders endorsed it. People who were actually at disagreement with one another theologically in some respects. People couldn't believe that all those 38 people actually endorsed that book. They saw the need for change you could really believe in. And so I would urge you, if you don't have that book, Renewing the Soul of America, to consider getting it. $15 will put it in your hands. It's on our website, saveus.org. That's saveus.org. You can call us at 1-800-SAVE-USA. That's 1-800-SAVE-USA. Or you can write to us at Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. Writing a check at $6 for postage and handling. Now, while I'm mentioning that, so I don't have to completely disrupt what we're talking about as we go forward, you may recall that we have been offering a very special offer that was suggested by one of our listeners, and that is to make every one of our 11 books, the books that I have written, available to you with one composite offer with radical discount to make it, shall we say, encouraging, more affordable for you to be able to get those books. So here it is. I'm repeating that offer, and that will continue for the next approximately a week or so. All 11 of those books will be available to you, including Renewing the Soul of America, for a total of $150. And in addition to that, there will only be one $6 postage and handling for the very first book, and $2 for each additional book. So a total of $26 That itself is going to provide about, let's see, four times, about $40 of savings, not including the radical discount that we're already giving based upon the reduced prices that are already on our website. That's how good this is. But we want to get the message out, and we're trying to respond to the request of a particular listener. There have been a number of our listeners now who said, you know what, that's a good deal. And they're ordering those books. So you can do that. You can go to the website, saveus.org, and there is a place right there on the website where you can order that specific offer, that specific offer. Or you can give us a call at 1-800-SAVE-USA, 1-800-SAVE-USA. Or you can write to us at Save America Ministries, say, I want that special offer of all 11 books. And when you do that, you're going to write a check for $176 to Save America Ministries. And you're going to send it to Save America, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. Okay? Now, all that having been said, we go back to Generation Z, the most troubled generation in American history. And David Kapelian has written a wonderful piece today from World Net Daily talking about this situation. He was talking by way of illustration about Tyler Robinson, who is the guy who shockingly brought Charlie Kirk's life to an end summarily and then in court yesterday smirked about it. How did he get that way? Well, according to family members, when Tyler moved back home in 2022 to 2023, he became isolated from the outside world and highly engaged with online communication sites, including one called Discord, officially a platform for gaming communities, but well known by federal law enforcement as a major recruitment hub for violent far-left political organizations like Antifa and even foreign terrorist groups like ISIS. During that time, as Robinson's mother recounts, Tyler had become more pro-gay and trans rights oriented. He was then having a relationship with his roommate, a young man supposedly transitioning to female. And as part of his eventual full embrace of radical leftism, he uttered during a family dinner shortly before shooting Charlie Kirk, that he said was full of hate. Robinson became involved in multiple Antifa Discord groups, reportedly joined in discussions calling for the extermination of Christians and other threats. Well, this online group Discord later confirmed that Robinson had indeed sent messages shortly before being taken into custody, in which he admitted he had shot Charlie Kirk at the Utah Valley University. 2 days after Kirk's assassination, the Utah governor, Spencer Cox, summed it all up. He said Tyler Robinson shifted from a normal kid to someone influenced by evil freaks online. President Trump described Robinson's transformation like this. It seems like he had wonderful parents, born in a wonderful neighborhood, smart guy, great boards, great marks, great student, and then something happened to him over a very short period of time. He became radicalized on the internet. So that's one man, one young man, by way of illustration. Are we trying to say that the majority of Generation Z is exactly like that? No. No, that's just one illustration is how far this can go. But the problem with Generation Z is there's virtually no anchor for their soul. The name given to those born between 1997 and 2012 is a uniquely troubled generation, besieged by the same factors transforming many of their peers into political radicals, and the same cases, in some cases, to criminals. Social analysts break down the various influences that have made Generation Z into what author Jonathan Haidt chose as the title of his number one New York Times bestseller, The Anxious Generation. Now, we did a program concerning anxiety just a week ago. Why? Because anxiety is troubling the whole world, not just Generation Z, but Generation Z has anxiety on steroids. In fact, an estimated 42% of Gen Zers have been diagnosed with anxiety depression, ADHD, PTSD, or other mental health conditions, with a staggering 60% reportedly taking medication to manage their mental health issues. And then, on top of that, there's the disconcerting reality that many Gen Zers are not dating or getting married or having families. Why is that? Well, partly due to economic pressures, high anxiety, insecurity about the future, disillusionment with marriage due to the high level of divorce in their parents' generation, and widespread reliance on dating apps. I'm going to add something to that. Having had an entitlement mentality inculcated in them by their parents and grandparents, so they don't feel like they have to work. They have no purpose. It's like the Beatles in their song, Nowhere Man. He's a real nowhere man living in his nowhere land, making all his nowhere plans for nobody. Doesn't have the points of view, knows not where he's going to. Isn't he a bit like you and me? Wow, what a terrifying discussion, examination of society. And that was in the 1960s, friends. The sexual revolution, which spawned the very spirit now that has echoed down through subsequent generations to Generation Z. And then these young people are living in a virtual world where they can plug into and commune with every imaginable and even unimaginable type or individual cause through so-called influencers. And they're all recruiting for something. And then you've got boys. They didn't grow up amid war or deprivation, so what's the problem? Well, they grew up amid nothingness. Remember, he's a real nowhere man living in his nowhere land? No wonder the Rolling Stones in the 70s came out with that infamous song, I Can't Get No Satisfaction. But I tried, and I tried, and I tried. I can't get no satisfaction. And Generation Z is that generation on steroids. So they grew up amid nothingness. They had comfort but not conviction, connection but not community, access to everything but belief in nothing. Hollow. Products of a culture that dismantled every possible avenue through which they could have found meaning. And it shouldn't be surprising that the vacuum that was left by the disappearance of genuine faith, tradition, moral authority, even law, they went for looking something else to believe in, something absolute, something that made them feel powerful and alive, some part of something bigger than themselves. So many went to ISIS. Or some other nefarious group, an endless marketplace of extremism, eager to sell their illusion. And they still can't really find satisfaction. So when a society stops offering its young man meaning, something else will. And that's what's been happening. And then you had an educational system that's been on life support for a very long time. That's why the Department of Education is being dismantled as we speak. Why? Because the Department of Education actually was a facilitator of this kind of nonsense in the mind and heart of our children. And colleges were doing an excellent job in turning our young people against their parents, against the Bible, against Israel, and against their own country. No wonder there's such anxiety, unhappiness, political radicalization, addiction, depression, financial struggles. So where do we go from here? That's what we want to talk about for the balance of the program, friends. That's the information, now the transfer.
There is so much more about Chuck Crismier and Save America Ministries on our website, saveus.org. For example, under the marriage section, God has marriage on his mind. Chuck has some great resources to strengthen your marriage. First off, a fact sheet on the state of the marital union, a fact sheet on the state of ministry, marriage, and morals. SaveUS.org. Marriage, divorce, and remarriage. What does the Bible really teach about this? Find all of this at SaveUS.org. Also, a letter to pastors, the Hosea Project, SaveUS.org, and many more resources to strengthen your marriage. It's all on Chuck's website, SaveUS.org. Again, you can listen to Chuck's Viewpoint broadcast live and archived. Save America Ministries website at SaveUS.org.
Generation Z, the most troubled generation in American history. Your children, your grandchildren, maybe your great-grandchildren. What's happened? And where do we go from here? I'm remembering during the break a song that we used to sing in our churches. We have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll. Anchored to the rock that cannot be moved, anchored firm and deep in the Savior's love, an anchor that keeps the soul. Our young people have not had that. They have no anchor. So what happens? They drift. And they drift with every wind of doctrine, every wind of society, everything that sounds like it might be good or might be cool, or they think the majority or large groups are going after, they just drift. They're a nation, they're a generation adrift. Now, on the other hand, we're told that there is a flood of Generation Z into our churches. And we'll talk about that. A flood of Generation Z into our churches. But most of them are guys, not girls. Why is that? Why is that? Because the girls have not had fathers in the home. That's why. And so the girls are finding their fathering and love instincts elsewhere. There's no anchor. They have no anchor for their soul, and it's well understood that fathers are the primary anchor, not for their sons, but for their daughters. A girl who has no real spiritual anchor through her father is likely, far, far more likely to get involved in premarital sex and all other kinds of social problems that determine their destiny for the rest of their life. It's just unbelievable. Guess what? In the last 40 years, 50 years, the reduction of fathering in the United States of America has been so severe, not just modest, not just identifiable, but severe, that both Christian and non-Christian observers alike have declared that fatherlessness was the number one problem in America. That virtually every other social indication in the country, and I might indicate spiritual as well, is rooted in fatherlessness. Now, I want you to think about this for just a moment. If that's even close to true, then what that is telling us, that we're in the final throes of the world from God's viewpoint. Because the next to last message that God gives to the world was found in Malachi chapter 4. I think it's chapter 4. And that is that before the great and terrible day of the Lord, that is before the wrath of God is poured out on the children of disobedience, God in his mercy would send forth the spirit of Elijah the prophet to call the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers. God gripped my heart so much with that a few years ago that it was like he was virtually commanding me in the spirit to write a book concerning that, to help people over this very troubled time, to give them inspiration, to give so-called Christian men inspiration as to how they can be genuine biblical fathers and provide the kind of leadership, the kind of spiritual leadership and foundation that God intended for fathers to provide, that would be an anchor for their children's souls. And so I wrote a book called Hearts of the Fathers. Right out of the book of Malachi, it is a prophetic book. It's the next to last message that God brings to the earth before the wrath of God is poured out. You know where the last message is found? In the book of Revelation, chapter 14, where an angel is set forth by God to deliver a message to the whole world. And it's distilled in these words: fear God, glorify him, and worship him who made heaven and earth. Three things, and then the end comes. So you would think that that would be something that pastors and parents and so on would be very serious about and take seriously, because we're living in those times, but we're not taking it seriously. So I wrote the book, Hearts of the Fathers, leaving a legacy that lasts. Leaving a legacy that will last. I mean, that's really what fathers want, isn't it? But we just don't seem to know how to get there. And it's not just about money. In fact, it's hardly at all about money. It's about a spiritual anchor for your kids, so that they have the hope of the future and can then again be the fathers in their generation and the daughters in their generation. So I urge you to get a copy of the book, Hearts of the Fathers. What a gift that would be to someone. Hearts of the Fathers, leaving a legacy that lasts. It's a hardbound book. Here's for $20 on our website, saveus.org. $20 on our website, saveus.org. But in the special gift that we offer for $150, all 11 books, it's included in that. So I would, if I were you, and I only had a couple of the books that I've written, I would get them all. It's a good deal. And even if you had every one of them, what an opportunity this would be to get the message out from these life-giving, life-changing, vision-casting books for such a time as this. And you give them as gifts to your friends, to your relatives, your sons, your daughters, your pastor, your parachurch leaders, your Bible study. This, friends, is how you can make a difference. You say, well, what can I do? This is what you can do. You can be God's hand extended like a echoing translator. Did you know that a lot of radio stations have what they call echoing translators out there that take their signal and then multiply it out in farther reaches? That's what you can be. Don't say that I can't do anything. You can make a huge difference. All right. Now, I'm going to shift over for a moment. We're still talking about Generation Z, but we're looking at why, how this has happened, and what we can do about it. Okay? That's what we're answering. What can we do? Is there a redemption that's available to the most troubled generation in American history? Here's an article from the Christian Post. Do the Ten Commandments apply to Christians today? What would your answer be? Well, let me just read a few excerpts from this article. The helpful website gotquestions.org has over 10,000 answers to frequently asked Bible questions, like this one: do Christians have to obey the Old Testament law? After briefly explaining some of the laws that were given to God's people, like the Ten Commandments and so on, their website states, quote, none of the Old Testament laws binding on Christians today, unquote. Do you have any problem with their answer? I do. Jesus said, until all of these things are fulfilled, not one jot or one tittle shall be taken from the law until all be fulfilled. That's what Jesus said. So the religious leaders of his day were asking him what the great commandment was. What's the greatest of all the commandments? And you know what he said. Jesus said that you should love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, which, by the way, is a summary of the first three commandments of the Ten Commandments. And then he said, now, the second is like that. You shall love your neighbors yourself, which is a summary of the last six of the Ten Commandments. So Jesus didn't deny the Ten Commandments. He just summarized them. And guess what? That rabbi who was a lawyer testing him said, you have well spoken, master. In other words, he understood Jesus didn't abrogate the Ten Commandments. He distilled them into the substance of what they were to be from the heart. So I want you to consider this. While Christians never earn God's forgiveness or salvation by obeying the law, believers are nevertheless clearly called to aim for perfection. How do you know what perfection is? Well, the standard for perfection is love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, which is the distillation of the first three commandments, and you should love your neighbors yourself, the distillation of the past of the following six commandments. The one in between, the Sabbath, we'll deal with in another day, maybe next week. Now, here's the problem. I want you to consider what Christian leaders are saying and doing out there. Pastor Andy Stanley, the son of Dr. Charles Stanley, who has a congregation supposedly of around 30,000 people down there in Atlanta. He wrote a book in 2018 in which he wrote, quote, the Ten Commandments have no authority over you, none. To be clear, you shall not obey the Ten Commandments. Whoa! And what is the makeup of his congregation? Largely millennials and Generation Z. They have no anchor for this. The pastor just pulled up the rein. We'll be back.
Have you ever considered what the early church was like? Many people are developing a heart longing for a greater fulfillment in our practices as Christians. A recent study showed 53,000 people a week are leaving the back door of America's churches in frustration. What is going on? Why has there not been even a 1% gain among followers of Christ in the last 25 years? Could it be that God is seeking to restore first century Christianity for the 21st century? Jesus said, I'll build my church. Is Christ by his Spirit stirring to prepare the church for the 21st century? The early church prayed together and broke bread from house to house. They were family, and it was said by all who observed, behold how they love one another. Incredible.
But the same can be found right now. Go to saveus.org and click sell church. We can revive first century Christianity for the 21st century.
It's about people, not programs. It's about a body, not a building.
That's saveus.org. Click Sell Church.
Again, today we're talking about this generation, the most troubled generation in American history, Generation Z. All right, people will say, well, I thought Generation Z was having this great revival. Isn't that what this Charlie Kirk thing was all about and the effect that Charlie Kirk was having all over the country? Well, to a certain extent, yes, but it depends on your viewpoint. Did you know that the majority out there do not see Charlie Kirk's emphasis as spiritual, but as conservative and political? That's what they say. That's what they see. Now, his motivation was spiritual. But he talked so much about conservative politics that the people chose to ignore the spiritual application and found and decided that his primary emphasis was on selling conservative politics. Now, I'm not accusing him of anything. I think his motivation was pure. But I'm telling you what the end result is here. We're not going to change the world through conservative politics. That doesn't mean that I don't embrace conservative politics. I do. And if you listen to this program, you'll know that to be the case. But I don't approach it as a culture war issue. Why? Because that's not the fundamental war. The fundamental war is a spiritual war, not a political war. The politics are merely the symptom of the underlying disease, which is spiritual. And that's the underlying problem with Generation Z and with the millennials before them and with my own generation, the baby boomers. It was spiritual. The sexual revolution was not driven by politics. It was driven by a spiritual rebellion. And that rebellion is continuing. How do we know that? Well, it's affecting Generation Z. For instance, consider these articles. Fewer high school girls want marriage. Fewer high school girls want marriage. In spite of the fact that boys still desire it. The share of 12th graders who say they plan to get married has declined precipitously among girls. And fewer of them are interested in having kids. Amazing. That was the goal of every woman going back historically in the world and in our country. It's affecting the entire future of the country demographically because we have now reduced the number of children being born to 1.6 per woman, which is less than that necessary to sustain the population in this country. There are two things that are involved there. Number one, fathers have not undergirded their families to cause the young ladies in their homes to feel secure in getting married. Just haven't. And mothers who behave themselves scurriously and now divorce is initiated more by women than by men. Did you know that? For about 10 years now, divorce has been instituted more by women than by men. So women now are undermining the vision of their daughters to get married and to have kids. And then they look at artificial insemination and so on, that they can have surrogate fathers so they don't have any responsibility to work with a man in the house, and they can be a mother all by themselves if they want. That's an entitlement mentality of selfishness, which is exactly what the Apostle Paul described as the perilous part of the perilous times that we exist on the near edge of Christ's second coming. Men would be, people would be lovers of themselves, unthankful, unholy, and so on. On the other hand, looking at the flip side of this, married mothers are more likely to be happier than other women. That's a study of 3,000 United States women aged 25 to 55. Problem is, it's missing Generation Z that are not getting married. So what is it about married? Well, married women are more likely than their unmarried counterparts to feel deep connection and meaning in their relationships. They're also less likely to be lonely, more likely to receive physical affection, both strong predictors of happiness. Mothers are also more likely to find meaning and purpose in their life. Research contends that there is no question that marriage and motherhood are linked to greater female flourishing on many fronts. Marriage shapes and magnifies the experience of motherhood. These are all statements coming from the research. Then, over half of American women without children have no desire to become mothers. More than 50% of American women under the age of 50 who don't have children say they have no desire to become mothers, as the nation's fertility rate has reached an all-time low. Now, if that is the attitude of millennials and the younger Generation X, then you can well understand then why the young ladies in Generation Z don't have a desire to become mothers. And therefore, they don't want to get married. And they don't want any responsibility. They're just entitled to live and have some sort of a sexual relationship out there without any consequences, without any responsibility. I'll do what I will, what I want to do. No consequences, nothing. I'll just get an abortion. So 65 million of America's babies have been killed intentionally by their mothers and fathers and grandparents and pastors and doctors since 1973. 65 million. Well, guess what that's done? That's affected the whole Social Security system. It's undermined the entire United States economy that was built on statistics predicated on normal childbirth and marriage in the country. Are you beginning to get how this is happening? And so when the economy is affected like that, it has echoing consequences for the young now who are having a very hard time understanding how they're going to pay for this, how they're going to pay for that. They can't get a house. They've got these huge college debts. All of this are the echoing consequences of what the previous two and three generations did that was ungodly, contrary to all wisdom, including the killing off of 65 million of our young. And then we say we can't figure it out? Man, we are pretty ignorant people. We can't figure it out, and yet it's so plain as the nose on your face. God can figure it out. It's all right there. Pastors won't talk about it in large measure. They'll lament the breakdown of the culture, but they won't talk about what the answers are. You know why? Because that will mean they'll have to speak directly into the life of their constituencies, and they're afraid it might cause some of them to rise up in anger and leave their church. And that will cost them money in the offering plate, and their building programs will fail, and so they won't do it. Just won't do it. So they're echoing consequences. What do we have to do? We have to speak the truth. Yes, we speak the truth in love because we love. You can't not speak the truth and say you love. That's a lie. You see, life is not just about feelings. We all have feelings, but life is about faith. The just shall live by faith, the Bible says, not by feelings. It's not that we want to go out and crucify people's feelings, but we have to be willing to step on their toes in love in order for there to be change that we can believe in. And it has to start with you. It has to start with me. And that's why that book, Renewing the Soul of America, one person at a time, beginning with you. You see, up until that time, all of the messages coming from Christians and otherwise in our culture was, look at how terrible things are getting in our country. and it's all about you. You, them, it's all about them. Always somebody else. Nobody carried any responsibility. So there was no change you could believe in. None. In fact, the more we prayed, the worse things got. Why? Because there was an unwillingness to speak the truth that would bring about the change that we wanted to see. Let me give you a classic illustration of this. In 1996, I was attending a gathering sponsored by Dr. Bill Bright called Fasting and Prayer 1996. It was in the fall, and it was a gathering of 4,000 Christian leaders to pray for America and its situation, its condition. It was the first time that I was aware of that a specific gathering was to pray for the church in America, not pray for the nation as a whole. So I thought, wow, this is good. I got to be there. So I went. And at that location, there's a longer story about this that I'm not going to go into. I've discussed it before on the air, but we just don't have time to go into it right now. But the point is this. During one of the breaks, I sat down in private, and I do mean in private, with one of the foremost prayer leaders in the country whose name you would know. And I looked the person in the face privately, not meanly, and I said, how is it that after all these years of prayer and even calling for fasting and national days of prayer, we've had all these themes right from 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people which are called by my name would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I would hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. So the verse was great, but we had themes like heal our land. Okay? I actually created a big banner, heal our land. I was the head of the National Prayer Task Force for Virginia for 4 years. And then we had seek his face. But I said, how is it we've never had a theme, repent or turn from our wicked ways? Which is the focus of the entire verse. And here was the answer. Are you ready for it? The person said, it's too negative. In other words, the very message that God says is at the heart of any change that we could believe in was too negative to market to the American people, and particularly the church in America. Need I say more? That's what we're dealing with. That's why all of this is an uphill battle, like paddling a canoe straight up Niagara Falls. If we really care about Generation Z or any other generation, we've got to be willing to stop coddling and speak the truth in love everywhere. And let the chips fall where they may, and let God by His Spirit begin to move and bring conviction to each one of us, one person at a time. Thanks for joining us. Get a copy of that book, by the way. Renewing the Soul of America, $15 on the website, savings.org. God bless. Be a blessing. Become a partner, friends. Do it today. Don't delay. We've got a whole generation.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Chrismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church, declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.